Hello, and welcome to the Fuel Run Recover podcast, helping everyday runners fuel better, run smarter, and recover faster so you can reach your full performance potential. I'm your host, Stephanie Natchek, dietitian, fitness coach, and a fellow runner too. As the owner of Stephanie Natchek Performance Nutrition, I've spent the last 10 years helping runners learn to fuel their bodies, level up their running performance, and establish healthier relationships with food and exercise. If you're ready to reconnect with your love of running, then let's get started on today's episode. All right. So before we get started with today's episode, I wanted to invite you to check out a few great free resources that I created just for runners. To get them, all you have to do is click on the link in the show notes or visit www.stephanienatchek.com. If you visit my website, there's a little pop-up box that comes up and it'll prompt you to enter your email address, and these guides will be sent right to your inbox. The first guide is my fueling guide for runners. So in this resource, you'll find my top fueling tips for runners, as well as some specific meal ideas for both your pre- and post-run fuel. If you've been struggling to understand what to eat when to support your running and just figuring out like what those meal ideas, like what those meals look like, what kind of foods you should be including before versus after you run, what the difference is between pre- and post-run fueling, then this guide is exactly what you need to get you started on the right path. The other guide that I created is my strength training guide for runners. So this guide includes both a PDF resource, has some tips, guidelines, and links to my YouTube series where I actually walk you through all of the exercises in the program. This is a great beginner strength training guide for runners who want an effective but efficient full body workout that helps support the key muscles and movements you need to run stronger and injury-free. So once again, both of these guides are available together. I have them put together as a little bundle for you. You can just click on the link in the show notes or go over to www.stephanienatchek.com, enter your email address just the one time, and both of these free guides will get sent to your inbox right away. I hope you enjoy these resources and find them helpful in supporting you and your running. And now let's get into today's episode.
Hello, hello, and welcome to today's episode of the Fuel Run Recover podcast, where I am so excited to be chatting with you today all about protein. So we are going to be diving deep into everything you need to know about protein as a runner. We're going to be covering all kinds of questions about how much protein you need, what protein does for you as a runner, answer, you know, some of the hot topics, hot questions about protein for runners. And of course, we're going to talk about where to get your protein from in your diet. What is better or preferable, getting your protein from plant foods or from animal sources? We're going to talk about the pros and cons and break down all of that. So I want to thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. Let's get started. The first question that we're going to answer today is, what is protein, right? You've probably heard of protein. I'm sure you've heard of protein, but what exactly is it and why do you need it? So protein is a nutrient and it's a macronutrient. So the term macronutrient, whenever you hear that, or you'll hear sometimes people refer to things like macros. So these macronutrients are the nutrients in our diet that we eat that give us calories. And the three macronutrients are carbohydrates, fats, and protein, of course. Protein in particular, they're these long, long chains that are made up of thousands of individual little building blocks that we call amino acids. Now, these amino acids are what we use to create proteins that our bodies need. That's structural protein. So that's like our actual body tissues, our hair, our muscles, our skin, our heart, our lungs, our kidneys, our digestive system. All of those different body tissues are made up of these amino acids and, you know, into these greater strands of proteins. We have something called essential amino acids. And the term essential in nutrition means that we cannot make it ourselves. So we don't have the ability to make these essential amino acids. We have to get them from our diet. So these proteins are made up of these little building blocks. When we eat protein, we then get these little building blocks that our body uses to turn into new proteins. Hope all that makes sense. Now, like I said, these essential amino acids, and of course other amino acids that our bodies are able to make, not only do they make up our body structure, our body tissues, but like everything else that's in our body as well. So like our DNA, our immune system cells, enzymes, hormones, you know, everything, you name it, has protein as part of its structure. The other reason that we need protein in our diet is, of course, to like give us these essential amino acids that we require to essentially live. But also, interestingly, protein is very filling in our diet. And so it really helps us to feel satisfied after eating. This can be beneficial for some people from a body composition perspective. If we're eating more protein in our diet, then that means that we may feel more full and more satisfied for longer after a meal, which, if our goal is reducing body fat percentage, changing body composition, then this can have a benefit for some runners. However, this effect or this impact is going to be relevant for some people to a higher degree than others. And of course, if you're someone who tends to be more towards like the lower body weight or underweight, lower body fat percentage side, and that's an issue for you, then we sometimes want to be mindful to not maybe overdo it on the protein and get that balance of all of our essential nutrients, all of our macronutrients that we require as runners. So protein, of course, is critical in our diet. We absolutely need it. But just like all things, we want to make sure that we're eating it in balance with everything else that we require in a day. So specifically, what does protein do to help runners? Like, how does eating protein help support you as a runner? Because we do tend to be very carbohydrate focused when it comes to running. You know, we're always talking about fueling up before you train, making sure that you're having carbohydrate before you go for those long runs, bringing carbohydrate for fuel along with you on your long runs or during your hard workouts so that you can, you know, optimize and maintain muscle glycogen. Now, protein is going to be really helpful, really important for helping to build and maintain your muscle mass. So your muscle, of course, is what moves you. This is the important tissue that is most active when we run. And we need muscle to not only run and move our bodies, but the more muscle we have, the more force, the more power we can generate. And as well, that can translate to better endurance too. Having more muscle mass, more muscle tissue available to us to use during endurance work allows us to run for longer, even at low intensities. So yes, there are a lot of runners who have, you know, they're very small framed. You see a lot of elite runners, especially elite distance runners who are very petite and, you know, don't have like large quantities of muscle mass. But we do know that having more muscle can translate into better performance. So we don't need to all, you know, be trying to achieve like a very small, lean, thin type of look in order to be a better runner. It is preferable and really very much recommended to do things that help to build and maintain muscle mass as runners. Of course, that is going to include strength training. There's no way around that, but also increasing and getting enough protein in our diet. Now, when we do things like running or lifting, or of course, any type of workout, but here we're talking about running. So running or strength training, we are causing damage to our muscle tissues. So when we're doing speed work, when we're running hills, when we're doing squats or push-ups or lunges or deadlifts, you name it, we are causing damage within our muscle tissues. Protein is going to support the repair and rebuilding of that muscle tissue as part of our recovery plan. So this is why when we talk about timing of nutrients, when we talk about getting protein in after we train, it's because it's key for this exercise recovery. Protein, of course, is also important for maintaining other body structures and regulating other body systems. You know, this includes, as I mentioned, things like hormones, making hormones, regulating hormone function, and things like our immune system. So we know that protein is important. Protein does a lot of really key things in our bodies, from playing that structural role, helping to build and maintain muscle tissue, helping to ensure that all of our other body systems and other body cells are able to function optimally. And then that, of course, brings us to the question about how much protein do we actually need? How much protein do we have to get in our diet? Again, as runners, we tend to be very carbohydrate focused, but we want to make sure that we are getting in adequate protein, keeping that in balance with all of our other nutrition goals. So recommendations for protein really vary depending on the source of information that you're getting. So you're going to see anything from, you know, as little as 0.8 grams of protein per kilogram of your body weight, all the way up to like 2.5. I think I've probably seen some people recommend even going as high as 3 grams per kilogram of your body weight. So there is a tremendous, tremendous amount of variation in protein recommendations. And that's going to cover, you know, everyone from like sedentary people, those who are inactive, all the way up to people who are trying to build and maintain very large amounts of muscle mass, like people who are in the bodybuilding type of fitness space. So if we kind of like zero it in and sort of, you know, just sort of narrow that down a little bit for athletes specifically, and then of course, even one step further for endurance athletes, that number is going to fall around between 1.2 and 2.4 grams per kilogram. That's what you're going to see kind of recommended for athletes. Again, a little bit of variation depending on where you're getting your recommendations from, what organization, and you know how recent they have updated their information. For my runners, when I'm making recommendations, usually we're going to be somewhere in the 1.5 to 2 grams per kilo range. There was one recent seminar that I attended where they went through all the research and they were looking at all of this data. They came with a number of 1.8 grams per kilo. So we're, you know, somewhere in that ballpark. Where exactly you fall is going to, of course, vary day to day. And it's going to depend on your training volumes, your performance body composition goals, and almost more importantly, your specific food preferences. Because as we'll talk about, you know, when we're discussing sources of protein, where we get protein in our diets and the pros and cons of different sources and choices, what foods you enjoy and what foods you want to fill your plate with is definitely going to have an impact or an influence on the total amount of protein that you're getting in the day. Now, if you've been hanging out with me here for a while, if this isn't your first podcast that you've listened to, then you might already know that I don't recommend doing a lot of very detail-oriented tracking of your diet for a long period of time. I just think that it's very difficult to do it well, to track your food intake very well. If you've ever tried it before, you know that it takes a lot of time and effort to like weigh and measure and remember to track every single thing that you consume. It can be kind of limiting in terms of going out to restaurants or eating things, you know, even recipes that you've made yourself, they're a little bit more complex and very hard to track things correctly. And so it's not something that I think people need to do long term. So if we're talking about these numbers and, you know, we're within 5, 10, 15 grams a day, then we don't want to get too caught up in being too worried about nailing a specific number, a specific target every single day. We want to just keep this, you know, in general, this is what we want to be aiming for. So I hope, you know, if you're listening to this episode, not taking this as like, okay, we need to go hard and fast at 1.8 grams per kilogram, not a gram over, not a gram under, and be right bang on, because, you know, we're not trying to make this more work than it needs to be. So in general, if we're somewhere between 1.5 to 2 grams per kilo, then that's going to be fantastic. That's going to be a really good start. You might want to go on the higher end of that protein goal for times when you're doing a lot more heavy training, for times when your training volume is higher. Of course, if our goal is to, you know, shift body composition, reduce body fat percentage, then again, we might want to go on the higher end for the satiety benefits. However, if your food preferences make it extremely difficult for you to hit that goal and you just don't like the way you have to eat in order to make that happen, you know, we want to be realistic. And if you can get to 1.5, then we stay there. That's totally fine. Now, the next question that I wanted to answer here is, when should we eat protein? Because of course, not only do we want to think about getting in enough of this important macronutrient over the course of the day as a whole, like over the course of 24 hours as a whole, but how should we split that? How should we break that down to make sure that we're getting protein at the right time? So protein timing is something that you may have heard a lot of us in the nutrition and fitness space kind of talk about the importance of protein timing, making sure that you're getting protein at the right time, especially when we're talking about exercise recovery. I really recommend getting protein at all of your meals and snacks throughout the day. There is really no benefit to skipping protein and saving all of your protein up for just like one or two meals per day. So ideally, we want to space out protein intake over the course of the day for the satiety benefits, right? Because as I mentioned before, protein does help to keep us full for longer after we eat. So that's really key. It also is going to help give us not only the essential amino acids that we require, again, over the course of the day, but also the essential nutrients that tend to come along with high protein foods. And so there's really no benefit to skipping protein at certain times and loading up on it at other times. Just spacing it out evenly over the course of the day is fantastic. The only time that we do want to be mindful to not have a large amount of protein at a meal, some people really need to be careful about like minimal protein, would be immediately pre-workout. And this is because protein is slower to digest. It doesn't break down and digest as quickly as carbohydrates do in the digestive system or in the gut. And so if we were to eat a high protein meal, then go out for a run very shortly after, we may find that that protein is, still sitting in the gut undigested and can definitely contribute to some GI issues. So if there is one time of day that we want to be mindful to not overdo it on protein, a couple grams is okay. Like we don't have to have zero protein in our pre-run meal, but just keeping it to a minimum is just going to be immediately before we go to train. If you're doing a lower intensity sort of strength training workout, you're not like running, there's not a lot of movement around the stomach, kind of the bouncing that we do when we're running, then you may find that you can have protein and you don't have any issues. There are also a lot of people who may find that they can have protein right before they train. It doesn't cause them any problems. But if you want to be on the safe side, or if you do have a history of digestive issues when you run, then that might be one thing that you'll want to change and take into consideration. Now, we talked about, how much protein we need in total per day, and kind of when and how we should space it out. But then the next question is, can you eat too much protein? So like, let's say you have no problem hitting that 2.4 grams per kilo. You have no problem going even higher than that if someone asked you to. Like you could just eat protein all day long and those are your favorite foods. Can you get too much? So, there's kind of two parts to that question. It's, can you get too much from like a health perspective? Like, is there a point where getting protein would be unsafe or like bad for us? And then where's that tipping point of more protein not being beneficial from like a performance or a health or body composition perspective? So previously, it used to be thought that a high protein diet could be harmful to our kidneys. So it used to be that we were careful to not recommend too much protein because it was thought that if we had really high protein amounts in the diet, then we were going to do damage and harm to our kidneys. Now we know that that does not appear to be the case. In studies they've done, even with very high quantities of protein in the diet, they have not found higher protein diets to be harmful to people who have healthy kidneys. If you don't have healthy kidneys and you're listening to this and you know that your kidneys are not ship shape, you've got any kind of issues with your kidneys or concerns with your kidneys, then definitely, be mindful of that. Talk to your registered dietitian about how much protein would be recommended or safe for you. But if you have no issues with your kidneys and you know that, then there's no harm to consuming, a higher protein diet, as I've mentioned here. Then in terms of how much protein is healthy or kind of ideal when it comes to like body composition, or if we're trying to build muscle, how much protein is sort of the max? If you're someone who's listening to this and you really want to optimize your ability to build and maintain muscle, if that's your primary focus right now, you want to get as much protein as you possibly can to do that. Where is that upper limit? And essentially, it was thought for a long time that we could only absorb about 20 to 25 grams of protein per meal. So if you ate more than that at a meal, if you ate more protein than that in one sitting, you would not absorb it, right? In the gut, you wouldn't actually get that protein from your food. We now know that this is not the case. We essentially absorb almost unlimited amounts of protein. Like we can absorb, very high quantities of protein on, you know, per meal sort of basis. But in terms of what's optimal, I do still recommend splitting up your protein intake, you know, taking your total goal, you know, maybe a maximum of 2 grams, maybe if you want to go to 2.5 grams per kilo, and splitting that up over the course of the day. There was one recent study that got a lot of attention on social media. A lot of people were talking about it, giving their thoughts on it. And the study showed that there was essentially no upper limit to how much protein we can absorb at one time. So compared to this earlier research that was suggesting that about 25 grams of protein at a meal was the maximum, this study instead gave people 100 grams of protein and showed that all of it was absorbed. However, what's really interesting about this study is that most of the research in this area have used faster digesting proteins. So they've used things like whey protein in order to, you know, give it the fastest breakdown possible to make this time after a meal a little bit shorter. Now, this study in particular compared 0 grams of protein to 25 grams of protein to 100 grams of protein, and they used casein protein. So casein is another protein that we find in milk that is very, very slow to digest compared to whey protein. So whey protein, of course, you're familiar with that. You've heard of whey protein powder. Whey protein is very quick digesting, whereas casein is very slow digesting. So by giving 100 grams of casein protein, you are almost giving a similar effect to these multiple smaller meals, because this casein is going to be digested over many, many, many hours after it was given. Also, looking at this range of 25 grams all the way up to 100 grams, there's really big range there that the, sort of optimal amount or kind of the ideal amount might be somewhere in the middle of that, or probably is in the middle of that range somewhere. Because realistically, 100 grams of protein is the amount that a lot of people need over the course of the whole day. That's not an unheard of number for how much protein people need in an entire day. So, going from like the amount of protein you get in one meal to potentially the amount of protein that you get over the course of the entire day, there's lots of gray area in the middle there that I think we still need to figure out. Also of note, this amount of protein in this study was given after a workout, after an intense strength training session, and the participants in the study were fasted. So that all also needs to be taken into consideration when we're trying to understand how much protein is optimal or ideal. You know, there's a lot of factors that all go into play there. But what I will say is that it is very important to get protein with all of your meals and snacks throughout the day, and especially to make sure you have a very good source of protein. I think 25 grams of protein is a great minimum target for your post-workout meal, but making sure that you do have that protein available right after you train, especially those harder, heavier training sessions, to start that muscle protein synthesis or that muscle rebuilding, get that recovery going so that you actually get the results from the training that you're looking for. Now, on the note of like, can you eat too much protein? You know, from a health perspective, it's hard to hurt ourselves by getting too much protein. Again, as long as you're otherwise healthy and don't have any issues with some of those organs that are processing that protein that we eat. But we also need to balance our requirement for protein with other important dietary components. And of course, for runners, this is going to be primarily making sure that we can still get in enough carbohydrates and overall getting enough essential fats in our diet as well. We don't want to be so focused on only getting protein or only getting protein and carbs that we're maybe missing out on that overall balance. We're not getting enough fats as well. So it is really important to, you know, if we need to maybe back off on protein a little bit to make sure that we're fueling adequately for the running, the training, and the volume that we're doing, then we want to make sure that we're able to do that. So as much benefit as protein has for us as runners, building and maintaining muscle mass, helping to keep us full and satisfied after we eat, Also, as we're going to talk about in a minute, providing us with other essential nutrients and things like that, it isn't the only thing in our diet that we need. And it's always important to be thinking about that balance. Now, what would happen if we don't get enough protein in our diet? So I would say for myself in particular, more often than not, what I see is runners struggling with not getting enough protein versus getting too much protein. I rarely have to tell someone, back off on the protein, you're overdoing it there. Usually it's a matter of trying to increase protein, particularly earlier in the day, particularly at breakfast in the morning. I see, a lot of people either skipping breakfast altogether or having a breakfast that's really small and doesn't include a good source of protein, definitely not hitting that 25 grams of protein in the morning. So we can see if this happens is we can have a hard time building and maintaining muscle mass. So over time, that might translate into a decline in performance and a decline in the body composition that we're looking for, especially if we're doing a lot of training earlier in the day, we're doing a lot of maybe fasted training earlier in the day, but then we're eating all of our calories later on and we're not, timing our meals around our workouts the way that we want to be. If we're not getting enough protein over the course of the day, we also might find ourselves very hungry. So we might have a hard time staying full after eating, and we might have a hard time staying full into the evening, which can make us more prone to overeating in general, more snacking, more food cravings, just less satiety and less fullness after a meal. The other thing, of course, is that we might have a hard time reaching our nutrient targets. So, of course, not just protein, but all of the vitamins and minerals that we tend to get from these high protein foods, we might have a hard time there as well. This might be calcium, iron, zinc, vitamin B12, choline. These are things that we tend to get from a lot of animal foods. And so if we're not getting in enough protein sources throughout the day, we're not getting in enough dietary protein, we might be missing out on those. Of course, if we are missing out, if we choose more plant protein sources, whether we have animal foods in our diet or not, but if we lean towards more plant proteins and we're not getting enough of those, then of course we might be missing, again, really good sources of iron, zinc, potassium. Getting in enough fiber might also be an issue if we're not getting in enough plant protein sources, as well as we might not be meeting all of our essential amino acid requirements. So we need to get enough protein. It's really key. We want to space it out properly over the course of the day, making sure that we're especially paying attention to getting protein early in the day. That just tends to be a little bit of a problematic time for a lot of runners. And then, of course, what foods should we get protein from? So where should we get protein from in our diet? We get protein from two primary sources. There are two categories of protein-rich foods that we rely on as runners: animal foods and plant proteins. Animal protein sources are good sources of what we call high quality protein. And the reason we refer to it as high quality protein is because it contains all of these essential amino acids. So I mentioned at the very top of this episode, part of the reason that we need protein in our diet is because protein provides us with these amino acids, these essential amino acids that we cannot make ourselves. We need to get it from food sources. Animal proteins contain all of these essential amino acids, and they also contain other essential nutrients. Like I mentioned, this could include iron, vitamin B12, choline, zinc, calcium, depending on the source, whether that's something like a Greek yogurt or chicken or eggs or beef. All of those are going to contain slightly different nutrient profiles, but they're going to provide us with these essential nutrients. It's also really important, though, to balance that with the fact that some animal protein foods are very high in saturated fats, which we do want to be mindful of in our diet. So we don't want to be consuming all very high saturated fat protein sources. And of course, there are tons of other reasons, whether these are ethical reasons, environmental reasons, why a lot of runners might choose to avoid animal foods or at least reduce or minimize their animal food consumption. Whether that has to do, as I mentioned, with maybe reasons that are more ethical or environmental focused or just a matter of food preferences, we also, can't really talk about protein without getting into the benefit or the value of choosing plant protein options as well or instead of. Now, plant proteins, these are going to include primarily things like beans, lentils, and soy foods. A lot of runners will rely heavily on things like nuts and seeds as well as sources of protein. They do contain protein, but not as much as those other plant foods that I mentioned, the beans, lentils, and soy foods. And they tend to have a higher proportion of fat calories compared to protein calories. This still makes them very valuable in our diet. It still makes them foods that we definitely want to consume on a daily basis. But if we're looking at trying to meet a very high protein target, like let's say we are aiming for that 1.8 grams per kilo or maybe even 2 grams per kilo, it's going to be hard to do that relying on nuts and seeds if we're also trying to get enough carbs and of course not go overboard on dietary fats. So a little bit of a balance there. If you are following more of a plant-based diet, then I would definitely encourage you to be really leaning into the beans, lentils, and soy foods. These plant proteins are very, very nutritious. They are fantastic. Sometimes in nutrition, we call them like nutrient powerhouses. You'll hear them referred to sometimes as. And this is because not only do they contain protein and a lot of essential nutrients, these include things like iron, zinc, potassium, magnesium, like the list goes on. They also contain a lot of fiber, which is really great, right? They're giving us a great source of protein and a fantastic source of fiber as well as essential nutrients. So even if you do eat meat and other animal foods, eggs, dairy products, etc., then I do think it's valuable to also include plant protein sources in your diet more often. You know, to have those couple meals a week that you're doing meatless cooking, or to just be adding the more plant protein sources to your daily meals, however and wherever you can get them. I think it's tremendously valuable just for the variety, for the fiber, and for the different profile of nutrients that we get. However, many of these plant foods, in fact, the vast majority of these plant proteins and plant foods are not what we call complete proteins. So they are missing a couple essential amino acids. Now, what's really interesting, though, is that they're all missing different ones. So we can combine different plant foods to meet our total target for all of the essential amino acids on a daily basis. But this means that it is really important as a plant-based eater to make sure that you are prioritizing high-protein foods and getting them in at every meal. Because if we're maybe just hit or miss with getting in those sources of protein, we might not be getting enough complete protein over the course of that whole day. So that's something to keep in mind. What's also important to keep in mind with our plant protein foods is that these sources of plant proteins are not as what I'll call sort of concentrated in protein. So we often need a larger serving size if we're trying to match the grams of protein from an animal food to a plant food. So if you are someone who, you know, has a smaller appetite, is used to not eating very much, then you might have a hard time, you know, meeting all of these nutrient requirements and keeping your plates balanced. It sometimes requires very large portions of whole foods in order to meet all of your needs. If this is the case, you know, this is where some runners might choose to also include some supplemental protein in the form of like protein powders, protein shakes, adding protein powders to things and stuff like that, just to make it easier for them to reach their goals on a whole foods, plant-based type of diet. The beautiful thing is that there is no one-size-fits-all approach here. Every runner is unique. Every runner has their own goals, their own food and nutrient requirements, and of course, their own food and nutrition preferences. And so no matter what style of diet you prefer, no matter which foods you want to include or don't want to include in your eating pattern, there is a way to make it work and to make sure that you can get enough protein in your diet, no matter what your goals here are, no matter what your preferences are. So I never want a runner to feel as though they have to eat a certain way, have to eat this, can't eat that. You know, everyone should feel comfortable and everyone should feel good about the food choices that they're making. And if you are looking at a nutrition program, you're looking at a nutrition plan or working with someone that really, you know, makes you feel as though there is only one way to eat only one size fits all for how to get your nutrients in. If they're pushing just one kind of dietary pattern over another, and that doesn't feel comfortable for you, that doesn't really align with the way that you want to eat, then, you know, look elsewhere, because you can definitely get everything you need. Sometimes it takes a little bit of creativity, a little bit of planning and organization, but regardless of the food choices you want to make, you can always find a way. There's always a way to make sure that you're ticking off all of these important boxes. Sometimes a little bit of supplementation will be required in order to make it all come together. But like I said, there is no one size fits all here. We all have our own goals and preferences and everything that goes into what makes us unique. And so just making sure that you feel good about the choices you're making is the most important thing. Now, I mentioned supplemental protein. So getting in something like a protein powder, protein shakes, things like that. That is probably the number one supplement that I get asked about. That's probably the most frequently asked question that people want to know when I first start working with them is, do I need to get protein powder? Do I need to use protein powder? Now, you're never going to need protein powder, right? There's always a number of different ways that we can go about meeting our goals. You do not need to go and buy a protein powder. However, though, I will say that if you are wanting to level up your protein intake, if you're wanting to kind of reach that next level or next amount of protein in your diet, and you're feeling like you're pretty maxed out on the whole food sources of protein, you can't see yourself necessarily eating bigger portions, you can't see yourself necessarily eating more often, you can't see yourself being able to meet your needs from whole food sources with the goal that you have for your protein target for the day, then protein powders can be very convenient. They can definitely help to fill that gap. Convenient, they can add some variety to our diet, different flavors, you know, whatever it is that you like to use them for. And certainly if we're talking about eating on the go, having food sources and things that are kind of handy and convenient for when you're away from home, post-workout, heading up to your next thing, you know, having to fit in all this nutrition along the way, then there's definitely a time and a place for using something like a protein powder. It's just never going to be a hard and fast rule that you absolutely have to have it. It's like, you do not need to have a protein shake after every single workout. There are lots and lots of ways that you can meet your protein requirements with whole food sources on their own. But, you know, we live in a busy, fast-paced world. A lot of us have a lot going on, a lot of obligations, maybe not that much time to be cooking and prepping meals all the time. So there could definitely be a role to play for things like that. In terms of what types of protein powders, like what format or what type of protein powder you might want to use, definitely your standard whey protein is fantastic. So if you like whey, you can tolerate whey, you can have whey protein in your diet, then a whey protein is great because it is fast to digest and absorb, which of course is really important for that quick post-workout recovery meal. And as well, it's inexpensive, it's readily available, it's just a really convenient option. On the other hand, though, you know, if you're going towards more plant-based protein sources, if you want to keep your diet more plant-based and you don't want to include a whey protein powder, then you want to go for a plant protein powder that is mixed protein sources. So rather than choosing a protein powder that's just one, say like just pea protein or just rice protein or something like that, you're going to want to aim to get a protein powder that has multiple sources, different plant proteins mixed together. This is because, as I mentioned, the essential amino acid profile, we want to be getting a mixture of plant proteins to get that complete essential amino acid profile. Some protein powders are also going to either add or they're going to advertise how much BCAAs they contain, branched chain amino acids. So you do want to make sure that your protein powder has at least 5 grams of BCAAs in them. If you're not sure, you can always check with a dietitian. You know, definitely book a consultation, sit down with the dietitian, review your goals, your diet, your supplements, and get some personalized advice. This is also something that you can find inside the Fuel Train Recover Club, which is my online signature program. The other main type of protein powder that I get a lot of questions about is collagen protein. People often wonder, definitely the last couple of years, collagen has been making a big splash in the supplement industry. There's been lots of interest, lots of marketing and advertising about collagen and its benefits. And, you know, it's definitely one that I see more and more people using and incorporating into their supplement plan. So collagen is an important protein that we have in our bodies that is part of what makes up our connective tissues. So what connects, our body together. And of course, when we're talking about running, we're talking about like tendons, ligaments, cartilage, and things like that. So when we're looking at, do we need to supplement with collagen? The answer for the most part is no, we don't need to supplement with a collagen powder, because we make those proteins out of the protein we eat from food. So we eat protein from food sources, we break it down, we, you know, take apart all those individual amino acids, and then we put them back together in our bodies to build different proteins, all the different proteins that we use in our bodies or that we have in our bodies. So consuming collagen protein is not a direct link to having more collagen in our bodies. We don't absorb whole intact proteins like that. It's not like we consume collagen and that collagen gets, you know, into our mouths and into our gut and gets absorbed and goes straight into, you know, our collagen containing tissues. We have to still break it down and then rebuild collagen ourselves. However, there does seem to be some signaling benefit where when we consume collagen, it's maybe telling our body to make more collagen. But again, the research here is a little bit preliminary. What is the most important thing, though, is meeting our total protein goal for the day. So if you're having a hard time getting in enough high protein foods, the first thing that I would do, rather than going to a collagen protein, I would go to a plant protein or a whey protein to get enough total protein for the day. If you want to add collagen on top of that, or if for whatever reason you really like the texture, the flavor, the variety that collagen powder gives you, then by all means, you can certainly include it. But it on its own, collagen on its own, is not a complete protein. So if you're going to take it, I recommend taking it over and above meeting your basic protein requirement rather than it being something that takes up part of that total protein for the day. I hope that that makes sense. Think of it sort of as an add-on or an over and above rather than something that's really going to be part of like your core nutrition program or kind of the core foods that you eat over the course of the day. All right. So that is protein 101 for runners. I really hope that you enjoyed today's episode, hearing all about what protein is, what it does for us as runners, how protein helps support our bodies, our body structure, our body tissues, understanding how much protein we need, how to get it over the course of the day, and of course, answering some kind of hot questions, hot topics about, you know, do we need more protein? Can we get too much protein in our diet? And what's the deal with some recent studies that have come out about looking at protein targets? That is it for today's episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. And of course, if you are looking for more help with your nutrition as a runner, I have some great options available for you. The first is my Fuel for Runners online course, where we cover all of everything you need to know about eating as a runner, from your off season right through base building, all the way to carb loading for your race. We cover everything from A to Z of getting you ready to run faster and run stronger, no matter what phase of training or what your goals are. That is my self-study course. You can find more information about that in the show notes from today's episode. And then, of course, if you're looking for even more, if you want to level up from there and you're looking for more coaching from me, more information about not just nutrition as a runner, but also your training and your recovery and everything in between, then you can definitely check out the Fuel Train Recover Club. That is my online signature program. You get a membership for one full year when you sign up. And that includes, of course, tons of online learning, all the information, resources, tools that you could possibly need to level up your running. And of course, you get opportunities for live coaching and help and support from me. So thank you so much for listening once again to today's episode all about protein. I hope that you found it interesting. I hope that you found it helpful, and we will see you back next week for our next episode. Bye for now.
The information on this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not to be used or relied upon for the diagnosis or treatment of any health condition. This information does not create a client-practitioner relationship and should not be used as a substitute for professional medical advice.